Penelope Shepherd is a country girl who wants to reinvent herself. And heading to the city to uni seems like a great opportunity. That's easier said than done. She arrives and there are a series of brutal attacks on campus. That's the basic setup for Aoife Clifford's novel, All These Perfect Strangers. Here she is, out and about with Anna Frey Taylor.
Aoife, let's tell the listener why we're at Melbourne Uni.
Well, I guess we're retracing the footsteps of my main character, Pen, who heads from her country town off to first year university in 1990.
One of the things I really loved about the book was the way you captured the vivid experience of university life. You mentioned the drugs and the alcohol, the parties, but also the insecurity and just the sheer excitement of being in a place of learning with people that you don't necessarily know. Were you drawing on your own experiences writing those scenes?
Oh, yeah, definitely, I would think. Also, what you hear from other people as well. Look, I think it's a really exciting time because you're going to a wonderful world, or what you imagine is a wonderful world of knowledge, that your horizons will be opened up. And particularly Penn coming from a country town like I did, that was a really exciting thing. First year university, you're asking yourself some big questions about who you are, what will your future be, how will you go without the normal structures of home life, of people who've known you all your life, and suddenly you're thrust into this world where you're really trying to work out yourself as much as you are everybody else around you. Now, I think first year university, you're kind of allowed to ask those questions of yourself, and you're surrounded by a whole bunch of people who are asking the exact same questions, so it's really exciting. But at first year university, you also think that you're going to come up with answers and then you're never going to have to ask these questions again. And of course, you end up asking these sort of questions your whole life.
What did you study at university?
Well, similarly to my main character, I studied law, but I did arts law. So I just gave her law just to make it a bit easier.
Well, your law background has obviously informed this book. And one idea that you particularly home in on in this story is the idea of guilt. What is it about guilt that interests you? And is there something that you would like to confess?
No. Penn's troubles are entirely her own. I only give her my geography. Legal guilt can be very cut and dried, and sometimes people can get off on very technical reasons, and there's good reasons for that. But when you come down to moral guilt, that is a far sort of broader concept, and it can seep out and sort of taint people who would never face criminal charges at all. And that was something I was really keen to explore in the book. It might be clear who's legally guilty, but who's morally responsible could be a whole other question, and that was something that I really wanted to get the reader involved in.
Now, Aoife, I have not written a crime thriller, but I imagine that one of the more difficult things about writing this kind of book would be the structure. When I got to the end of your book and it was revealed to me who was responsible for these attacks on campus, I realised that you had been dropping hints and a couple of red herrings along the way. How do you go about structuring this kind of book? Is it a process of almost reverse engineering?
No. Structure is really important, though. And actually, structure was what I started with before anything else. I had started another crime novel, and I got about a third in, and I realised that I wouldn't pick it up in a bookstore, so why was I expecting anybody else to pick it up? So I stopped it and I started again. So I was thinking a lot about structure, and the structure that I was thinking about was a common story structure. The idea of a protagonist going on a journey to a strange land, overcoming monsters, obstacles, and then returning home again. And now that's a very common crime structure. I mean, it's a very common structure. It's as old as the Odyssey. The second structural decision that I took was about how to tell the story. Now, I really like books that have interesting structure. You know, your David Mitchells, your Ital Calvinos. I really enjoy those books. My structure isn't quite as ambitious as theirs, but I really enjoyed the idea of telling one story and the story of Penn at university, starting at the beginning and going all the way to the end, while at the same time telling the story of Penn's past, starting at the end and then going all the way to the beginning. And so I was really interested in sort of weaving those two narratives together. So those are some of the big structural issues, decisions that I took. In relation to the question that you ask about how do you sprinkle kind of your red herrings and your clues throughout.
What's the secret?
Lots of drafts. And I know crime writers who work one of two ways. One way is to not put anything in until the end. You then go back and you add in your clues very strategically. Another way, and probably the way I favoured, was I had lots of clues all the way in, you know, over-clued it, and then as I edited, I pulled out the ones that I judged weren't necessary.
Well, you're obviously a great reader too. I must say, I was not expecting to find literary references to people like James Joyce and Raymond Chandler in this book.
I really enjoy writing, and I really wanted to have a call out to other great writers that I really enjoyed, just for fun. So Ulysses gets a mention, Brideshead Revisited gets a mention. Some of them I'm having fun with. The Brideshead Revisited reference is for the March Main Club, who are actually the drug dealers on campus. And so that was just fantastic. In fact, I named some of my characters. I named three of the sort of bad boy characters after some great Australian crime novelists. So after Gary Disher, Peter Temple and Shane Maloney. All got a first name call out just to say thanks for all your writing. I've really enjoyed it over the years.
Do they know that they play a part?
No, and I should admit it to Gary because he actually was my mentor. I was lucky enough to get Australian Society of Authors mentorship and he was my mentor through that process. So I should actually fess up to him that I've got a little nod to him in the book.
Well, he knows now, I guess.
That's right, the secret's out.
Now, the other thing that struck me about this particular book is you explore the issue of violence and sexual assault against women on campus. And the other book it made me think of was Helen Garner's now infamous First Stone. That was the one where she followed a sexual harassment case against a master at one of the Melbourne University colleges. Was that a reference for you when you were writing?
Look, yes, it was. And in fact, I remember the controversy around that book. I think it was just after I had finished university, perhaps the year after that book came out. And I remember thinking I had a very different view from Helen Garner about what the girls in that particular case should have done. You know, one of her other great books, The Consolation of Joe Cinque, is actually set at the campus where I studied. So, yes, I was definitely thinking about some of Helen Garner's work while I was writing this book.
Let's just come back to some of those ideas that you raised earlier. I was interested in the idea that your protagonist, Penn, goes to university ostensibly to learn about the law. But what she really learns is something quite different while she's there. And from my reading, she learnt that people can't outrun their pasts.
Yes, definitely. It's quite interesting when you study law because you read a lot of cases, naturally enough. And at the start of each case, there's a very quick summary about the facts of the situation. And then, of course, you spend your whole time reading the case for the law. And our lecturers always used to say to us, these cases are all about the law, but when you go out into the real world, it'll be all about the facts. And I always used to wonder about the humanity that you would have at the start of each case, that those few sentences that would sum up a great trauma in those people's lives. Law can be very cut and dried, but there's always a human story behind it, and there's always sort of competing truths about what happened. And so I was really interested in exploring all of that. What lies behind these sort of cut and dried cases is a very messy human kind of experience.
Aoife Clifford with Anna Frey Taylor on her debut crime novel, All These Perfect Strangers, published by Simon & Schuster. More novels next week here on Books Plus. I'm Kate Evans. Many thanks to Sue Clark. Do stay with RN. Until then, bye for now.